Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy, have you ever really digested the words that you find in John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. If you start to contemplate that, you're contemplating something that quite literally boggles the mind. It staggers the imagination. The very thought that the one who spoke in 100 billion galaxies leapt into existence should cloak himself in human flesh is, well, it's unthinkable. To imagine that the one who knit me together in my mother's womb would himself inhabit Mary's womb boggles the mind, and yet that is precisely what Christianity proffers. A creator beyond comprehension who has revealed himself in incarnation. And this year, for the Christmas season, I was encouraged by my staff to write a book on incarnation, and one of the primary people inspiring me to do this is Dr. Larry Johnston, and he thought this would be a perfect thing to put into the hands of Christians this time of the year so that the Christmas season would not just pass with another celebration that wasn't intense in your understanding of the ultimate self-revelation of God. Larry Johnston is a colleague in ministry. He's executive vice president. He's chief advancement officer, and he joins me on the broadcast. Good to have you on the show.
Great to be with you, Hank.
You were really an inspiring force for this book. You felt like a book like Incarnation needed to be written for our constituency.
Well, I think not only is the Incarnation arguably the most astonishing event in human history. You have to weigh that against the resurrection, obviously. But I often recall the story that was told of Mahatma Gandhi. This probably goes back to the late 40s, early 50s. He had come to the United States, and he had traveled throughout the United States. And he had some very negative experiences with some Christian churches. And as he was preparing to returned to India, he was interviewed by a journalist who asked him what he thought of Christianity. And he said, "Well, I love your Christ, but I do not love your Christianity." And he subsequently said, "I would seriously consider becoming a Christian if I ever met one." Ouch. I think the call to us is not to merely believe sound theology and doctrine and embrace truth, but to be that truth. We are called to incarnate that truth, obviously, not in the same unique incarnation that was Jesus Christ, but we are called to put flesh to His truth and live it out in such a way that we're not merely engaging in the proclamation of the gospel, but the demonstration of the gospel.
Let's talk about that some more. Paul says to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's not just right doctrine. It's watch your life and doctrine.
Right, and we've talked some about when someone gains a critical insight, when they grasp a truth that they had not grasped previously, we would never hear someone say, oh, now I hear it. No, what do they say? Now I see it.
Hmm.
Seeing the truth lived out is going to be vastly more persuasive than the mere proclamation of truth when people can't see it. As a matter of fact, one great American author once said to a colleague, who you are is shouting so loudly that I can't hear a word that you say.
Let's take a few calls. Jenny, she's listening in Columbia, Missouri. You're on the broadcast. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I was having a conversation today with my sister-in-law, who has been struggling for a year and a half or so with lung cancer that has moved to her brain and now to her other lung. And she is in a process of transitioning from her body to the next stage of her being.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me today, you know, what happens to our souls once our body dies?
Yeah, you know, Jenny, as you're talking here, one of the things that came into my heart is to send you a copy of Afterlife, just rush it to you, so that you can read it with her while she's still alive. We go through a transition, absent from the body, present with the Lord if we are believers, so that the physical part of our anatomy goes back to the ground. But the non-physical aspect of our humanity goes to be with the Lord, to be comforted there, if in fact we are followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus explains how that happens in Luke chapter 16. But the Christian faith is not just platonic. It is very physical. So in Christianity, when Jesus appears a second time, the soul returns to that body, and the body is raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And the point of all of that is to say that Christianity does not give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulty of suffering. Suffering and death are horrid. They're horrible when
right.
you experience them. But it gives us something far greater, a way to overcome all of this through the power of Christ's resurrection. Larry, what's your thought?
Well, one great French philosopher once said that to philosophize is to learn to die. We need to be aware of the fact that our stay on this planet is a limited one. We are but a passing vapor. I once heard an existentialist say something that struck me with great force when he said, I only know two things with absolute certainty. One is that one day I will be dead. The other is that I am not dead now. And the only really critical issue is, what do I do between those two points of time? Sickness, disease, death, all of that can be extraordinarily difficult when it impacts us personally, and yet it can teach us the awareness that we are here for a limited time, can remind us to so count our days that we might acquire a heart of wisdom.
And Jenny, every moment in the meantime is so important. My dad was struggling with a fibrosis in the lungs, and he couldn't assimilate oxygen. And I remember while he was going through that suffocating experience, I asked him if he would not much rather go home to be with the Lord. And he said, "Hank, every moment I have is precious." And I think that's why I'd like to get that book into your hands so that you can share it and contemplate not only what will happen in eternity, but the fact that moment by moment, as you prepare for that eternity with your loved ones, that you recognize that those moments are not insignificant.
Right. And she's a Christian.
Mm.
And she also believes that at some point we will be with God. But it's that transition period that she's questioning. And I told her, you know, I don't know the answer to the question, you know, where our souls go once our bodies die.
Yeah, they go to the presence of the Lord, Jenny. I mean, that's you know, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story of a beggar who is very, very poor. He's in very, very bad physical condition. He has sores all over his body, and the dogs are licking the sores, and then he dies. And Jesus then says, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom to be comforted there. Abraham's bosom is a metaphor. It is a way of talking about being in the presence of God. And that is the ultimate comfort, because we were created to have fellowship with God. I mean, a Christian in salvation is brought into interactive communication with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're privileged to be brought into that loving relationship, and that is precisely what she will experience when she crosses from this life to that life. And then the best is yet to come. She'll be with my Father and many others that have gone before, but they await that great time when the Lord returns with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and then she will be resurrected. So the body will be again restored. That doesn't mean that every atom will be resuscitated, but it means that there's continuity between the body that is and the body that will be. And the great example is metamorphosis. You know, a caterpillar goes through metamorphosis. It dies in a chrysalis. Its constituent parts devolve into a mysterious molecular mixture there. But out of that comes an altogether other being. It's the same physically, but different organizationally. The butterfly now has a proboscis to indulge in the nectar of life. It now has eyes that can't merely distinguish between light and dark, but now has a field of vision and color acuity that exceeds even our own. So there's something great that we await for and that we even long for, a time in which Jesus said, there be no more death or mourning, crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is your sister, right, Jenny?
Sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm. What's her name?
She is my sister, Donna.
Donna, let me pray for her. Lord Jesus, we are so privileged to have this conversation and to take one of your dear loved one and raise her before your throne of grace. Oh, Lord, we know that dying is a horrible process. It's painful. It's ugly. And yet you have overcome death by resurrection. And so, Lord, I pray that Donna might have a real sense of not only going to be in your presence, but a real sense that you will restore all things, that the universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and that she too will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Lord, in the meantime, I pray that Jenny might be a great source of comfort, that she might be endued by your Spirit with great words of wisdom. And Lord, I pray that out of this, in ways that we cannot fathom, your kingdom would be extended. Glory would come to your matchless name. And Lord, we remember the promise given by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy God himself, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. Oh Lord, we pray for peace in the midst of this storm, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Jenny, hang on. I'm going to send the book Afterlife to you. I hope that you can share it with Donna and both be equipped and used in some powerful way at the end of life to make a difference for time and for eternity. Again, we're coming to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions and more of my colleague, Dr. Larry Johnston. He is someone who is intimately involved in the ministry as it continues to make a difference, not just in the U.S., but around the world. We'll be talking about that and taking more of your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
Have you considered in your Christmas shopping list what could be one of the best gifts you'll ever make? If not, consider this. Countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, mongers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. Yet your special Christmas gift today can help provide genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A growing number of evangelicals are accepting theistic evolution without considering the weight of biblical and theological evidence against evolutionary theory. The Apostle Paul's analogy between Christ and Adam in Romans 5 is central to Christian soteriology, yet it does not seem compatible with an evolutionary theory of common descent, whether naturalistic or theistic. Other topics include, will the real Islam please stand up? Did ancient extraterrestrials visit Earth? The Torah, God's Word, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Jihadists fighting for the Islamic State have been committing a range of systematic abuses, including mass executions, rape, forced conversions, seizing of property, and the destruction of churches and mosques. While ISIS claims that they are simply obeying Allah and Muhammad, many Westerners and Muslims maintain that such atrocities are strictly forbidden in Islam. Who is right? Find out in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and as always, just such a privilege to be able to be in this studio answering questions, but this is only one of the many outreach avenues of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And all this December, we're asking people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. We are absolutely committed to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Anything else is insufficient, but when the Spirit moves, we must move as well. One of the most poignant passages in all of Scripture comes with a Macedonian vision. Paul sees a Macedonian man calling him in a vision to come to the Macedonian territories. And what's so poignant about the passage is that it says the very next day, Paul boards a ship and he goes to Macedonian territories. He meets Lydia. Lydia becomes the first European convert. And you have now the genesis of Western Christianity. So Paul is having a fruitful ministry in Asia. But when the Spirit moves, Paul answers the call. And Larry, I want to talk about that by way of analogy. We have seen the Spirit move through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for many, many years, touching the lives of people all over the world. But we sense here a fresh move of the Spirit.
We do indeed sense that there is a fresh move of the Spirit, and it is to, as we've encapsulated the vision very succinctly, it is to facilitate and catalyze and to resource the largest apologetics initiative in history. Now that, I think, is boldness. That is admittedly immodest. But I think the question that many Christians need to grapple with is that given the increasing decadence and deterioration of the West and the mind-numbing explosive growth of Christianity in the Global South.
Global South defined.
Global South defined as Asia, Latin America, Africa, Oceania, where most of the majority world lives, we are seeing astonishing growth in the Global South. Witness the growth of Christianity in China, where there are now more Christians than there are members of the Chinese Communist Party. The fact that we're very likely, within a matter of a few years, to see, and this strikes me as incomprehensible, to see communist China, by virtue of Christian population, being the largest Christian nation on earth. I mean, for anyone who has the perspective of decades and is witnessing this taking place now, the speed with which this is taking place, the growth of the church in Africa and in Latin America. The difficulty is that the church in many of these areas may be a mile wide, but it is an inch deep. There is no root structure to ground them. So when the winds of heresy or the assaults of cults come up, they are not equipped to withstand those forces.
And so the Christian Research Institute has been led not only by a move of the Spirit, but grounded in Scripture, a passage that has become near and dear to all of our hearts at the Christian Research Institute, Isaiah 54:2, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back. I love that phrase. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. There's power in those words, but there's also a formula there.
There is indeed a formula. It begins with the imperative of do not hold back, but as anyone who has ever done any camping knows, or who has ever gone to the circus, you cannot uphold a large circus tent with small little Coleman tent pegs. As the size of the tent grows, so must the strength of the stakes grow. And CRI is currently in the midst of an intense planning initiative and preparation initiative to strengthen our stakes so that in expanding the reach and the impact of CRI globally, we will do that from a position of strength, not a position of weakness, from a position of holy boldness rather than timidity.
I want to talk about that some more. I mean, you are famous for saying that you and I are both in the fourth quarter of our life, and that's absolutely true. We are in the fourth quarter of our life. And one day in the near future, maybe 20 years from now or 10 years from now, I've outlived my predecessor significantly in terms of longevity. But one day soon, we'll stand before the Lord, and we want to give an account for what we did. We could rest in a way on our laurels. God has used you in ministry for 40 years in a very significant way. You've borne abundant, abiding fruit. God has been pleased to use my life, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So we could, in a sense, say, you know, we're already doing significant things for the kingdom. Why in the world engage in this kind of a bold initiative at this time in our lives?
At this time in our lives, I think there is a clear added sense of urgency because, to use a sports analogy, we're in the middle of football season now. When you're looking at being halfway through the fourth quarter, the score on the scoreboard has very different implications than what the score might have been early in the first quarter. For me, it is a combination of both where I am at my stage of life and realizing increasingly that every day matters to me now. One of my favorite quotes from an old Quaker says, I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. The world's needs and the world's opportunities are screaming for the wealth of resources that CRI can put at the disposal of these people. But back to lengthening the cords and strengthening the stakes, we have to increase the pipelines, as it were, to distribute these resources. Because what we take for granted here in the United States as Christians would be inconceivable wealth of resources to a vast number of Christians in the global South.
Talk to so many people listening in who are dear saints of the Lord. They too want their lives to count for time and for eternity. Why invest in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute at this time?
Well, I would suggest that there is a difference between a mere giving mindset or paradigm and an investment paradigm. I view my giving as not merely a transference of resources, but a process which can transform the recipients of my gifts. But I, like any smart investor, is not giving for the sake of giving. I'm giving because I'm expecting a return on investment. We need at least occasionally to pay attention to the parable of the talents, where return on investment, the stewardship really matters. And any Christian today in the United States is presented with dozens, if not hundreds, of opportunities to give to very noble and very worthwhile causes. But as I look at the conditions of the United States and the conditions of the Global South, if we fail to be salt and light in an increasingly decadent culture, and should we fail to seize this window of opportunity in the Global South, future generations will not speak well of the stewardship of this generation of Christians.
And the door is open now. That door is not perpetually open. We've seen that in history.
Every door of opportunity that opens will eventually close, and we do not know the timeline, but we see unprecedented, if not staggering, ministry opportunities both here and abroad, and woe unto us if we are so sleepwalking in our spiritual journey, or so semi-comatose, or so self-absorbed, or so anesthetized by the abundance of the Western world, that what we fail to be stewards of resources that can not merely transform lives, but indeed alter the course of nations.
Just thinking about the Macedonian call that I started out with in our discussion together over the last few moments. And in Philippians 4, Paul says, "It was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you, you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now. You have the Macedonian churches, and I think it's a great example of how these Macedonian Christians, much through the testimony of Paul and his associates, but also through Lydia, these Macedonian Christians come to faith in Christ. They establish churches. Many of them had resources like Lydia, but when they give themselves to the gospel, they lose their financial wealth, they lose their social standing, and yet they give out of their need and become a great source of making it possible for Paul to do what he did, which is even impacting us to this day.
And it is one of the truly great ironies that what I most value and most desire to keep is a result of what I give away.
And we are coming to a station break. The words are poignant, they're profound, they're prophetic. It's about a vision that God is giving to us, and we're asking you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder, particularly in December, in the battle for life and truth, not only in the West, but in the Global South, as Larry said as well. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants, as always, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Be back with more answers to your questions on the other side of the break, and more of my colleague, Dr. Larry Johnston.
Christians agree that life and truth are important, but have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. As we look forward to the Advent and the Christmas season, perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. A humorous definition of a conservative is someone who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. With that definition in mind, could the greatest threat to today's church be that many of us mainly sit and don't think? If history is any lesson, the failure to both think and act during times of crisis can be downright dangerous. And for Christians today, increasingly battered by the gale force winds of militant secularism, the need is to think Christianly and act courageously. Faced with these challenges, will you be a conformer or a transformer? Will you be the object of worldly change or an agent of change for the King of Kings? To go on record as an agent of change, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a special year-end gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to help equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jihadists fighting for the Islamic State have been committing a range of systematic abuses, including mass executions, rape, seizing of property, and the destruction of churches and mosques. While ISIS claims that they are simply obeying Allah and Muhammad, many Westerners and Muslims maintain that such atrocities are strictly forbidden in Islam. Who is right? Other topics include Paul, Second Adam, and theistic evolution, unpacking anime's spiritual depth, what has art to do with evangelism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. This Christmas, why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Many of the staff of the Christian Research Institute have been here for decades. Think of Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. I've worked with him for over 25 years. Same thing with the managing editor of the Christian Research Journal, Melanie Cogdill. Stephen Ross has worked with me for over two decades, and Paul Young, and the list goes on and on. And I say that because Larry Johnston and I have known each other for over 35 years, and during those years, we've talked a lot about ministry, Larry, and you've said that you feel that God has used your experience in ministry as he has used my experience in ministry so that we might have a complementarity one with another, with the entirety of our staff and those that serve this ministry through their prayers and finances for just such a time as this.
We are in a carpe diem season. We are in a season of time where I am sensing an imperative that grows more urgent with each passing week, that we are to seize the day. And it's not merely about solving obvious problems. It's about seizing opportunities to see perhaps unprecedented transformation in people's lives. And as I mentioned earlier, even in the fate of nations. I grew up in an era where China was often ridiculed as being the weak man of Asia, was the term. Now we're hearing that China has very recently surpassed the United States as being the largest economy in the world, and that there are estimates of anywhere from, I've seen, 52 million to over 100 million Christians in China. Whatever those numbers are, those numbers are absolutely jaw-dropping, inconceivable to someone who would just have a perspective of even 25 or 30 years ago. But I think a part of strategic stewardship, not merely obedient stewardship. Obedient stewardship is great. But strategic stewardship is about being so discriminating in the investments of our giving that profound change is the result. Not merely transactional trivia, but transformational truth.
You know a lot about organizational development. That's your expertise. And talk about that for a moment. I mean, the Christian Research Institute has not only been blessed by God with great sources, resources, that is, in the area of ministry, being able to do the work of ministry, but also in the area of management.
Well, a part of our current work, as you well know, back to strengthening the stakes as a prelude or as a concomitant to lengthening the cords, is understanding that CRI as an organization must grow significantly, not for the sake of growth, but for the sake of having an impact far beyond the formidable impact that it has had over the last 55 years. But just as someone 50 years ago, and you know, I worked with Walter Martin, the founder of CRI, there is no conceivable way that even very prescient prognosticators could have envisioned a time where we would be witnessing in China what we're witnessing now, or witnessing the shift of the center of Christianity to Africa. Not even enlightened futurists could have seen that. Well, we are not only seeing it, we are participating in it, and CRI is extending an invitation to people to join us to be powerful kingdom agents of change.
And again, it is why we're asking people to stand with this ministry, particularly in December, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, not only in the West, but in the Global South, all over the world, through the many outreach vehicles of the Christian Research Institute. This is an investment that is a good investment in the kingdom. And you can invest in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org when you give or when you write me as the Lord leads you. It has to be the Lord leading you. It's not about give to get. It's about giving so that you might have an impact on eternity. You can give via the Milligan Box, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. For those that join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to personalize a book to you, a family member, or a friend. You may even want to give it as a gift this Christmas season. So again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to Carlisle in Chesapeake, Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Carlisle.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. My question was, I left a legalistic church a few months ago, and I'm pretty sure you're familiar with Jesus' name only baptism.
I sure am, yes.
Okay. I was researching, and it just didn't make sense to me anymore. So I left the church for that reason, and amongst other reasons. And I just wanted to know the importance of baptism in regard to our salvation. Is it essential or not essential? Like I see throughout the book of Acts, how they believed and they were baptized.
Yeah.
Immediately, and then I also read throughout the letters that it's about our faith and it's not about works, and you know, and then also Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But to my understanding, is it you believe, and then as a like the fruit of your faith, is that going to cause a person to be baptized and to preach the gospel and to do all those other things, or is baptism essential for salvation, or is it not?
Well, those who are saved are baptized, and there's a reason for that. We are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. But being saved means that you want to participate in the means of grace that God offers to you. And baptism becomes a first act of obedience whereby you're saying, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 6, that you are being buried to your old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. So when you're baptized, you are partaking of the nature of God in a very real sense. You become a partaker of the divine nature. Those are the exact words used by the Apostle Peter. And in many ways, that means that as you are being baptized, you are being buried to your old life and raised to newness of life. But that newness of life is a newness that comes through the engrafting of the life of Christ. And Larry, we've talked about how in there are many different illustrations that could be used for the means of grace, the grace that is imparted through baptism. One of those would be a cloth that is submerged in dye. There is a real sense in that there's an interpenetration of the nature of Christ that comes into the life of the believer. We don't partake in the essence of God, but certainly the energies of God, as the church fathers used to say.
Well, it's interesting. There's, as you well know, the study of diachronic semantics, how the meaning of words change over time. It would be a reasonably rare individual who today would hear the word baptism without immediately triggering religious connotations. And yet the word baptism derives from the Greek baptizo, which has to do with this process of immersing into water or into a dye. And the same term that we would use for baptism with its current connotations within the Christian faith is the same word that would be used for a person who is a dealer in cloths or tapestries who would dye something. That process of baptizo is being submersed into that liquid and in the process taking on the properties of that into which it is immersed.
And yet the properties are separate. There's a mingling that takes place.
Right. Much like in, we had a discussion yesterday about visualize two candles that have been lighted, but the two candles are tilted in such a way that they are brought together. And even though the candles are very discrete entities, when the flames of both converge, they become one flame, not two separate flames, one flame. And a study of many of the great Christian mystics have used that analogy, that in the progression of faith, there is the via purgativa, the purging or the cleansing way. Then there is the via illuminativa, the illuminative or enlightening way, ultimately leading to la via unitiva, the unitive way, that point in which the light of our being, as it were, coalesces with God's being, not resulting in our becoming ontologically God. We cannot share in His being. We will never be infinite. We will never be uncreated. But we can, as at least the Orthodox Church sees it, while we can never know the essence of God, God's true being is ineffable. It is transcategorial. It is beyond any conception we can have of Him. And what we need to learn is the map is not the territory. The God of our available constructs is not God. And yet, while we cannot know His essence, we can experience and be transformed by His energies.
And that's really what we're talking about, Carlisle. I mean, at the root of it, this is a means by which God imparts grace to the believer, and thus those who come to faith in Christ are baptized. So we don't hold to baptismal regeneration, but we do hold to baptism as the first act of obedience through which we can experience the engrafting of the life of Christ, so that we are not just those who have changed lives, but rather those who experience exchanged lives. Much more could be said, but we're out of time for this edition of the Bible in Span broadcast. Appreciate your question. And as we close out the broadcast, a reminder once again, we're in December. This is the most crucial giving month of the year. It sets the tone for 2015, and God has given us a great vision. Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We ask you to participate in that. So please be generous. Whatever you do, we covet your prayers as well. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible in Span broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time right here with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation. God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed Himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed His glory. But in the Incarnation, we have seen His glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God.
In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, His last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who He is. He gives us Himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.